Here can say amen to that. Sometimes it seems like all you have is night. Now, I know right now we're slowly seeing more and more daylight come because we're getting further and further away from, I get it confused, is it the winter solstice and the one that's the longest is what? Summer solstice. Oh. Okay. Although the days are getting longer slowly but surely, the reality is that some of us have gone through some pretty rough patches. This week, we had a pretty tough one as a family. We said fond farewells to a young man, one of our members, and a young boy who grew up here, Nick Smith. On Wednesday of this week, as you came in, we had you come in these doors over here on Wednesday. And the reason we had you come in here instead of just down the middle for the visitation is because there were so many people who came. We just need the longer road. So you came in, we had stanchions set up, and we estimate somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 people came through on Wednesday to love on the Smith family, Tammy and Stacy, Jamie, Jesse, David and Nan, and all the family members. There are just some days and some weeks where it just hurts. And you think you have answers on one day, and then something happens, and those answers seem to just kind of disappear. And so this morning, I want us to look at what I hope will be an encouraging passage from the book of James. This is not what I planned to look at today, but in light of events, I just kind of want to take a few minutes to look at this beautiful four or five verses from the last part of James chapter 1. Because here's what I know, if you are like me, there are some of you in here today that you're going to need these verses at some point in the near future. Now, also, if you're like me, you've read these before, and as soon as we start to read them, you're going to go, how does this help in any way? What does this do? Hang with me, because I want you to see something that over the past few weeks, as I've kind of looked at this passage, maybe you've already seen this, and if so, congratulations, but I've seen some things of late that have just kind of popped into and opened my eyes. Now, before we get into it, I want to kind of give us a little bit of a recap. By the way, it is so good to see you live and in person versus last week. How many of you were here last Sunday in the auditorium? Would you raise your hand? Okay, go ahead. Daniel, would you put this little picture up on this screen? How many of you remember this little guy from last Sunday? Any of you remember the little potato head man? So here's sort of a recap. If you're just joining us, we are in the first fourth of a series through this little book of James. By the way, James was Jesus Christ's younger brother. Half-brother, same mom, different dad. But he was younger brother of Jesus. And he writes this little letter of encouragement to a group of Christians who've been scattered. They've experienced hard days. And he wants them to understand what it means to follow God well, even through those hard days. And it's an incredibly practical book of the Bible. In fact, it's been a favored book of the Bible through centuries because of how simple and practical it is. And so last week we looked at this little passage where he's going to give advice on how to work with other people. And we use the picture of Mr. Potato Head. And you remember, you've got this where you put on your listening ears. You take off the lips, no lip. And you take off your angry eyes. By the way, how many of you this week, if you're real honest, how many of you this week had a moment where instead of putting on your angry eyes because you got so mad, you yanked out your shoes, shoved them in your eyes, and ran into a wall? Anyone in here do that this week once? You really? You're going to leave me hanging up here? Okay, I've got an honest friend back here and here a couple. Do I have any honest people over here? Oh, thank you. Oh, you're giving me the look like you already had your hand up, didn't you? Well, praise God. Okay, we have an angry Gloria this morning as well. So he's going to be incredibly practical. But I want us to pause and look at these few verses because here's the danger. Here's the danger. Now hear me now. Because James is so very practical on what to do and what not to do. If you're like me, it's going to be easy to start thinking that Christianity, following Christ, is about what you do. That somehow doing certain things is what makes you a Christ follower. But if you're taking notes, you may want to jot this down. There is a difference between dead religion and Christianity. Dead religion says it is all about what you do. Dead religion, if you want to put this up on the screen, Daniel, dead religion says it's all about what you do. Try harder. Do more. Christianity says, look closer. Try harder, look closer. And so let's look closer at the passage about looking closer. This is James chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. We're going to go back a few verses and recap from last week. Here we go. 21 says this, get therefore. Everyone say, therefore. Therefore. By the way, whenever you see a therefore, it's about to explain what it's there for. So therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Now notice he's going to say, do something, get rid of. So Josh, are you saying, I mean, doesn't this seem to say try harder? Try? No, pay attention. Here he goes. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Well, Josh, he's saying do. No, keep listening. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives, everybody say this word with me, freedom. We're going to look at this one, okay, because this is huge. But when we look intently into the law that gives freedom and continue to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it will be blessed in what he does. Now let's stop there. There's this picture that James is giving to us that I think is absolutely huge. Now again, if you grew up in a church that at all had a little bit of a legalist bend to it, this is going to sound foreign because you're going to be thinking throughout this, no, it's what I do that matters. And yes, what you do matters, but what you do does not determine who you are. What you do does not determine who you are. I only got one amen. It's from William. He always says amen. Let's try this again. What you do does not determine who you are. Can I get an amen? Now, here's what I want you to see from this passage as we go through this. Martin Luther, the great reformer, hated this book. And maybe that's a little too strong, although he did call it an epistle of straw, meaning it was a weak, wimpy little letter. In fact, he did not like it so much that he kind of, we're told, kind of got it out of his own version of the Bible. Because he saw all the doing, and he thought that it ran contra or against. Now, we're going to come back to this next Sunday. So do not miss next Sunday. And by the way, the message I was going to present this morning, we're going to deal with on Wednesday night. You do not want to miss this one. But before we get into that, we've got to deal with this. So here's what he says. He says, religion is about trying harder. Christianity is about looking closer. You say looking at what? Looking at what? Well, he uses an image of looking and an illustration of a mirror. By the way, is this anyone's eyes right there? Let's see. Any? No. Okay. Good. Okay. A mirror. And he's going to play this little picture out for us of looking intently. By the way, just show of hands. How many of you have sort of a love-hate relationship with the mirror? Can I see a hand here or there? By the way, if you don't have a love-hate relationship yet with the mirror, give it a few more years. You will develop a love-hate relationship. In fact, just go ahead, turn to your neighbor, and here's what I want you to do. Go ahead and tell them, here's a real quick question for you. Turn to your neighbor and tell them when the last time was that you looked at the mirror. Go ahead, just look at, tell someone. And if you think that's too easy, tell them how many times today you've looked at a mirror. Okay? You got it? Now, I know. Some of you, I'm cutting you off way too soon. Some of you could just talk about how you look all day long, right? You know, for some, maybe you're like me, you look in a mirror on Monday morning and then you kind of avoid looking at it again until next Monday. You go a whole week. And then there's others of you, you know, you walk by a mirror and you're like, oh, hello there. How are you doing? Okay, don't raise your hand. Just wink at me if you know someone like that. Give me both eyes if you live with someone like that. Just a little, okay? Now, some of you, by the way, that's going to change some years from now. They won't be looking quite as often, okay? Mirrors have this incredible power to show us things. Here's what you may want to write down in your notes. By the way, we're using a little booklet. If you don't have one, there should be a few left out here. We'll get some more made if you don't have one. But this gives you your weekly notes, a space to put your notes in here. Today's February 4th, so you can just kind of put those in there. But here's what you need to know. A mirror, go ahead and put this up on screen. A mirror. Mirrors allow you to see something about you that you couldn't otherwise see. Mirrors show you something about yourself that you couldn't otherwise see. Let me say it one more time. Mirrors show you something about yourself that you couldn't otherwise see. Have you ever looked in a mirror and you didn't really like what you saw? Don't raise your hand. But you see something. And you go, oh, really? I mean, for heaven's sakes, I used to have this beautiful, thick head of hair. In fact, this week my son just made my day. He said, Dad, you have such luscious locks of hair. I think that was the phrase. Was that the phrase you gave? Something like that? Sort of? Okay. And I said, buddy, he's too short to see the little halo that I'm developing on the top of my head. And I said, buddy, thanks. He goes, oh, I just heard that somewhere. Yeah, like it's coming off here and starting to grow out here. Anyone else? No, I'm just looking forward to the day that it's long enough I can do the massive comb over. It's kind of okay, that's gross. So they show you things you may not want to see. Mirrors have this ability to show us who we are. Sometimes it's very helpful to look in the mirror. Sometimes it's frustrating. So sometimes I look in the mirror and I just kind of go, ugh. Then there are those rare moments like, hey, I look pretty good for a 35-year-old fat guy. Now, James is going to say something here, and I want you to hear this. It's real important. He's going to equate God's word to a mirror. He's going to say that God's word literally has the ability to show you who you really are. God's word has this ability. See, here's the thing. The Bible is the one book that when you read it, it's actually reading you. How many of you have ever been in God's Word? Maybe as you're doing your James journal every day, we're doing it in that book. Every day there's a section of Scripture, and we're doing soap. Read a Scripture, make an observation, an application, and a prayer. And maybe as you're going through it, you're reading it, and it all of a sudden hits you and go, boy, that hit me. The Bible has this ability to begin to show you who you really are in some very profound and sometimes very difficult ways. Now, here's my problem. Sometimes I experience this thing called denial. The old joke, denial is not just a river in Egypt. It's the ability to avoid or ignore or refute reality. Sometimes, you know, we play this game. We assume that I'm a certain way, and when I see differently, I avoid it. Let's just a real quick example here. How many of you can help finish this phrase? Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the? Yeah, whole phrase there. Okay, fairest of them all. For bonus points, who can tell me where that's from? Snow White. And who says that? The evil queen. She was the most beautiful one in the land until this young lady named Snow White comes along, and she has been so enamored with her own beauty that when she sees another more beautiful, what does she do? She reveals her own ugliness by going and attacking one more fair than she. The mirror begins to say, hey, you're not the prettiest. You got these areas in you. And the curious thing about the cartoon, do you notice she's actually a very attractive woman, but then to trick and attack and harm another, Snow White, she transforms herself into this ugly old hag. And what the mirror says about her is then shown true in her actions. Do you notice that? So the mirror actually reveals more thoroughly who she really is. God's word has this ability to show us who we truly are. Now, most of us don't like to know who we truly are. There's a guy named Daniel Kahneman. He wrote a great book called Thinking Fast and Slow. He's a brilliant guy, won a Nobel Prize in economics, even though he is not an economics guy. He's the only one to win the Nobel Prize for economics without being an economics guy. In fact, he trains Israeli fighter pilots to make split-second decisions, how to react in certain situations. And so he does a lot of research on this, and he has this quote that I think is fantastic. He makes the point, he says, We are normally blind about our own blindness. We are generally overconfident in our own opinions and our own impressions and our own judgments. I'll say that again. We are normally blind about our own blindness. There's a Rutgers researcher who found that 90% of business managers and college professors, 90% of business managers and college professors said that they self-assessed that they were above average in their ability and leadership skills. 90% above average. Now, okay, you may not be a numbers person, but let that sink in for a minute. There's another research that happened in Australia. 86% of all people in workforce said that they ranked themselves above average in their job performance. 86%. Again, you may not be a numbers person. That's not a possibility. We have an ability to not see what is true about ourselves. And so I want you to see what God's word says about you, because here's what James is going to say. He says, look, if you want to become the person that God has created you to be, to live life as he has designed it to be lived, and yes, to go through those hard times in a certain way, look in the mirror. So I want to show you real quick this morning the two things that Scripture says about you and says about every person you have ever met and will ever meet. Are you ready? Here we go. Number one, the Bible says, the mirror of God's Word says, number one, I am far worse than I ever imagined. I am far worse than I ever imagined. Now hang with me, because this isn't all that it says, but it does say this about me. Look, sometimes when I look in the mirror, I see things that I just don't like. In fact, let's just do this. I need some help. Let's see. Hey, buddy. Will you come up here, Kevin? All right, Kevin Ray is offering to come up. That's outstanding. And Sean, can I get you up here as well? Sean Fleece, right there. Come on, Sean. He looks so excited about doing this. Could you just encourage him with a round of applause? Doesn't he look handsome today? Another round of applause. Maybe a whoop from his wife. Okay, you're saying that's too much. Come on up here, guys. Here's what I want you to do. You ever seen a fashion show? You have, actually. Oh, boy. Not the whole thing. I'm not going to ask what parts you saw. Okay, come on over here, Kevin. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to, you don't really, are you that scary? Okay, come back here a little closer. Yeah. Now, what I want you to do, I want you just to look in the mirror, and then help. Yeah, that is close. And I just want you to look in the mirror, and then sort of describe what you see in the mirror, okay? As creatively as possible. Family get-togethers are awesome at the Diggs house. All right, go ahead.
Okay, let's see.
Let's start with this. What do you see on your face?
Glasses.
Okay, glasses. What else?
Eyebrows. Hair.
Where?
Mouth.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
You said on my face.
What, oh, face.
Mean? Okay. I see a nose. I see ears. Unfortunately, I see a little bit of white in my hair. Also on my beard, but I mean, look at this.
That is what we call deny. Okay, here we go. Now, okay, now let's get a little deeper here. What do you notice that may be unique about yourself?
Unique about myself.
Yeah, what do you see that's unique here?
I don't know. I really don't
have an
answer for that.
Well, let me help you out here, okay?
I've been told I have a doppelganger in Kentucky, so.
Well, okay, should we ask him then? Okay.
I don't know. Now,
if we were to do this a little bit more, what we could do is, you know, he might begin to say, well, you know, I have brown eyes. I have a relatively fair complexion unless I'm at the beach. And then he turns red and then brown. That's sort of the order that Kevin goes. He might.
Just turn right brown.
You just brown? Like, okay, brown berry. And then, okay. He might begin to explain different things about him. He might say, you know, well, you know, I've got a mole right here. I've got, you know, and he might explain more detailed things. Okay, now, you can step back. Come on, Sean, let's do the same thing. See how we're going on this? Come on, buddy. Take a good look and give us a few things that you notice about what you see in the mirror specifically.
Glasses.
Glasses, okay.
Wrinkles.
Okay, now say that a little louder.
Wrinkles.
Wrinkles.
Receding hairline.
Okay, so now we have wrinkles. Not so many wrinkles, but wrinkles, okay? A little difference here. What else do you see?
Hair where it shouldn't be.
Hair where it shouldn't be. That's called tweezers. Okay. Now, height-wise, I mean, certainly taller than me, taller than Kevin.
Average height.
Okay. I own that. All right. What else?
A little bit of a belly, I guess.
Okay. More for Trish to love, right? Okay, there you go. All right, now, again, if we were to kind of keep going on this, here's what you'd notice. There are people in the mirror, right? So he sees a human, another human, correct? Some of you aren't sure. Okay.
Right here. I feel so much better about myself today. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Now, but notice this. As they begin to look more intently, the mirror will reveal uniquenesses about them. Same mirror, unique details about what they look like right now. Do you see where we're going with this? This, God's Word, when we come to it honestly and intently, it begins to show Josh Diggs what Josh Diggs needs to see. It is, when I read it, I am not reading this for you, I am reading this for me. Do you see where I'm going with this? When Kevin comes to God's Word, he is going to see things, and the mirror of God's Word is going to show specifics about who he is, both the good, the bad, and the ugly. And same, that was not a dig. And the same with Sean. He's going to see other things that stand out to him. That's why we believe that God's Word is both living and active. Okay, go ahead, guys, grab a seat. Now, don't miss this point here. He says, don't just look at what it's saying. Don't just look. The first thing that God's Word tells me is that I am far worse than I imagine. Listen, the truth is, I am more ashamed of the man in the mirror often than anyone else I know, because I know all my junk. I've seen the things. Listen, this week alone, you want to go through the seven deadly sins? I've probably either committed them or been tempted to commit each one of them at some point. Okay? This morning, I thought I was doing really well. Last night, I thought I was doing really well. Last Thursday, I thought I was doing really well, and maybe it was that I just pulled out the shoes, plopped them in my eyes, and I got angry and ran into a wall. And God's Word says, you're far worse off than you think. You have a way of deceiving yourself, Josh. And friend, you do as well. In fact, let me just put a little finer point on this. I am such a wicked person on my own that it took the very execution of God Himself to deal with what is broken in me and what is broken in you. There is no one, Scripture says, who is righteous. No, not one, Romans 3:10. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sometimes we think, well, you know, if this is God's glory, I kind of just hid here. No, I am at the bottom of the ditch. Scripture is very clear that apart from God, I am a wicked, sinful, hell-bound individual. The first thing that Scripture says, and by the way, unless you hear this, nothing else I say will matter to you. We are on our own far worse than we ever imagined. But here's the beautiful, 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 beautiful thing. Scripture says, you and I were far worse than we could ever imagine, but cheer up. You are far more loved than you ever dreamed. You are far worse than you imagined, but you are far more loved than you ever dreamed. You are far worse. You have done things that break the heart of God, that put Jesus on the cross, but cheer up, because God Himself loved you so much that He presented His Son in place for you. See, here's what happens sometimes when something bad happens, when someone makes a bad decision. When I make a bad decision. when we face a tragedy or when something goes wrong, we begin to remember all the moments where we have failed and we begin to say, yes, I'm deserving. Yes, I'm deserving. Oh, and I should have had this happen and that happened to me because this is what I did. And we begin to remember every moment that we have gone off the rails, and those are true, but we have forgotten that God loves us so much that he sent his own son to die for us. Here's what you need to know this morning, friend. Yes, you are a sinner apart from God, but that very same God, before you did one thing, hear me now, before you did anything, God himself sent his son to die for you because you are loved. Now, here's why this is so important. The rest of James, he's going to talk about how we live out the reality of who we are. But the fact is, unless you realize who you are, you will be living trying to please a God, trying to work your way to a God who says, I've already done the work for you. Have you met anyone who has been so steeped in doing, in dead religion, that they are just sapped of strength? They're joyless, they're loveless, they're lifeless. Because they thought that it was all about what they do to get God to love them, and they had it reversed. Because of who God loves me, I then live a different way. Now, why does this matter? Why does this matter? This past week, we mourned the loss. And I had so many people come up and ask, well, is taking one's life the unpardonable sin? Is that the thing? Is that the thing? And let's just... Okay, if you and I were sitting down talking, let's just talk. There is an unpardonable sin in the Scriptures. That is not it. The unpardonable sin in Scripture is to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Now, we can get into that another day, but here's what that basically means. You refuse the work, the effort, the involvement of the Spirit in your life so much so that you are incapable of repenting and turning back to Him when you sin. So if that is the one unpardonable sin, then everything else you or I do, although wicked and although it put Christ on the cross, thanks be to God, he went to the cross for that thing. And you do not have to carry it anymore. He took it to the cross for you. You say, but Josh, what if it's the last moment, the last thing I do, and that's the moment? I mean, I've heard people, they say, well, what if I'm driving, and someone pulls out, I curse, and I hit the guy, and I die? I mean, you're going to hell. Listen, that one moment does not invalidate the power of the cross of Jesus Christ in your life. He is looking at the direction of your heart, not the perfection of any given moment. Can someone say amen? And here's why I think it's so important, family. Before we ever get into, here's what you must do, here's what you must do, here's how you need to change, try harder, that leads to a death sentence on earth where you can never work your way, you can never be enough because you know you better than anyone else. And even when we praise you for what you're doing, you go, yeah, but I know what I really am like. This is why the good news is we look in the mirror and we say, yeah, that's my flaws. But yeah, you know what else I see? Scripture says that if we are in Christ Jesus, we have been clothed in him. So when you look in the mirror, you don't just see Josh, you don't just see you, you see this one who has now been enveloped by the very presence of Jesus Christ, the one God loves so much, now covers you. So when Christ, when God himself sees you, he says, that's my little boy. That's my little girl. And there ain't nothing. Remember what Paul says? There's nothing. Heaven, hell, angels, demons, height, depths. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. For, here's the key phrase, those who are in Christ Jesus. You say, but Josh, I forget this. How many of you ladies, just would you be honest, how many of you have a little compact mirror? Would you raise your hand? Let me just see. Okay, some of you a little maybe younger, maybe you don't use that. Maybe you just use the little selfie image on your phone. You're like, oh yeah, okay, looking good. Okay, so listen, okay. Here's the key. Sometimes we hear this and we feel condemned because we go, oh no, I'm such an idiot. I don't remember. I forget. Here's the key. If you keep forgetting, don't stop looking. If you forget the truth that, yeah, you're fallen without Christ, but in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, we're told you're sitting at the right hand of God in Christ. Positionally, you are perfect with Christ. And you say, yeah, but I forget that, and I feel condemnation, and I feel guilt, and I feel shame, and I feel worry. If you keep forgetting, don't stop looking. Don't stop looking. Here's the key thing. If you want a takeaway for today, here's the way to do it. You say, okay, how do I do this? Here, okay, you ready? Here it is. Repetition builds remembrance. Okay, let's just say that together. You ready? Repetition builds remembrance. One more time. Repetition builds remembrance. One last time. Repetition builds remembrance. As you repeat something, you remember it. How many of you remember the golden age of television sitcoms? I'm not talking about the 60s. I'm talking about early 90s with TGIF. Anyone remember TGIF? Ah, Full House? My word, that's Stephanie Tanner. First sitcom crush. I didn't know my wife back then. Besides, I was 10. Okay, then after Full House, what was the next show? You guys remember? Family Matters. It's a rare condition this day and age to read any good news on the newspaper page. The love and tradition of the grand design. Some people say it's even harder to find. Well, there must... Okay, you can see what I'm saying, okay? Now, if you want to clap... No, don't. Okay, it's too late now. Then after that, step by step, day by... Okay, and you go, boy, this guy watched way too much TV. Yes, that's my point. Too much TV? No. I grew up watching these shows. I knew the characters. For instance, I've fallen and I can't get up. Who said that? Steve Urkel. You may not know James, but you know Steve Urkel. Because you watched it growing up. You saw it. Parents, how many of you sat through the horrible laugh track of Full House week after week after week? Because you love your kids and you know those characters now. Here's the reality. I spent time with those characters, with those shows every week, and now 20, 30 years later, after not watching them, I can quote stuff to you. Why? Because repetition builds remembrance. Here's the reality. You are far worse than you imagine, but you are far more loved than you dare dream. Remember this by repeating this. Get in God's Word. Because here's the reality. Let's just pull it to a close here. There are moments coming, if they have not already come, that you're going to question if God actually loves you. Something's going to happen to you. There's going to be an event, a situation, something you have not caused, something you have not done, and in that moment, you're going to have the temptation to forget. There are going to be others of us in here where that moment comes, but it's not because of something that's happened out there. It's because of something we've done in here, and we go, this, all that stuff he could cover, but this thing, oh, it's too big. It's too big. Keep looking. Keep looking. I want to speak to those of you who were particularly affected this week. I cannot judge any of your relationship with God. I'm responsible for me. But let me tell you what I believe Scripture teaches. Is that for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, we have confidence no matter what. And why do I believe that? Because I keep looking.